I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you've heard me say this time and time again, that God didn't save you to slave you. You know, you're not what you do. You're actually someone God loves and enjoys. And when you live out of that love of God, instead of out of that insatiable need to prove that you're something to everybody else, well, that's when freedom happens. That's when joy rises up. And that's when intimacy with God grows. Well, my guest today, I think, is one of the most powerful worship leaders of our day. In fact, her music way back when got me through some of my tough battles with Lyme disease as a young mom. Christy Knuckles joins me today to talk about her new book, The Life You Long For, Learning to Live, from a Heart at Rest. We've got four copies of this beautiful hardcover book, and it tells some of Christy's story and her ministry and how God tucked her away for a time to teach her a deeper intimacy that she didn't even know was possible. We've got four copies. As I said, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484 if you want in on the drawing. And Christy writes this, here in this purest place, at the center of his heart, in accepting this beautiful invitation to inside-out living, you will truly rest and find contentment. And, beloved, when you begin to live wholly out from his love, you will see him show up on your behalf as you never have before. We'll get Christy on in just a moment. A quick announcement. Each week this month, we're giving away a copy of the late Eugene Peterson's book, A Month of Sundays, 31 Days of Wrestling with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he's such a deep, rich theologian. So we'd love for you to enter to win. You do that on the web at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Christy Knuckles is a worship leader, singer-songwriter with a passion for writing and speaking. Her podcast, The Glorious in the Mundane, inspires listeners to find the wonder of God at work in their everyday moments. Previously, she toured nationwide with her husband, Nathan, as the duo Watermark, maybe you remember them, recording 7 number one radio singles and 5 acclaimed albums. The two have also participated in the Passion Conferences since their inception. And Christy lives in Franklin, Tennessee with her husband, Nathan, and their 3 children. Dear Christy, welcome to the program. Great to talk with you today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So looking forward to this, Christy. Your music just makes my knees weak. It's so powerful. So we actually chose some of your songs for our bumper music today. But before we get into just the content of the book, we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a passage God's been just having you ponder, what he's been saying to these days.
Well, I love Isaiah 40:31, and it's because, I mean, it's an amazing scripture. It's they that wait upon the Lord. He shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. But I did a little bit of a word study on that word. He will renew their strength. I'm a little bit of like a word nerd. And so when I looked into that word renew, it actually means he will pass through or substitute. So he will literally pass through our strength, or he'll substitute our strength with his. And I think, as we all know, our own strength has a shelf life. And I love this truth that we can wait on him every day. I love to say now that I rededicate my life every day, my heart, I reconsecrate my heart every day in waiting on him in that way, to say, I'm waiting for your strength, God, to pass through mine and take, you know, take me through my day, and you living your life through me, and that changes everything.
So beautiful. That's why it's so worth doing those deeper word studies, because it feels like it goes from being flat on the page to being a three-dimensional truth, like, and, you know, black and white to technicolor, you know?
Yes, I love it so much.
So great. Well, just before we dig into the content, well, this is actually in the content as well, but give us a little backstory on your early ministry years, your early married years, just how the Lord led you into ministry and what that was like for you.
Yes, well, you know, just hearing you talk about those watermark records, that was around this time. It was over 15 years ago. We were doing great things. You know, we were using our gifts, which many of you listening are, you know, what God has given us to do for us, that's music. And so at the time, we were traveling. We had two kids in tow, you know, when we were traveling. They pretty much learned to walk on buses. And, you know, but at that time, I really, in young motherhood, reached a place where I kind of hit a wall because we were going nonstop, and I realized I couldn't do it all. And so I really believe that God allowed me to hit that wall because there was something deeper going on in my soul that I didn't even know that I needed rescue in. And I love that God comes and he fights for places in our hearts that we've either maybe even given up on, or that we don't even know need rescue, because I thought I was doing everything that he called me to do. But he really wanted this relationship with me to become so much less like transactional, and for it to be transformational, and for me to learn to sit with him. But I didn't even know that, you know, touring and singing for him and doing all these things for him had become more valued in my life than just sitting with him and being with him, being seen in the secret place, being known by him, and to really understand what it looks like to live in trust and surrender. That's sort of just like a spoiler alert that trust and surrender, I've learned that's what leads to ultimate like soul rest, where we're able to live from this place of him coming through for us. And so that's where kind of the book starts. I tell you about that journey, and he really did actually call me off the road for about 4 years for me to come home and to take care of my kids. And in that, he helped me remember how to be his kid. And so I love that he brought me home to take care of these children so that I could understand what I am to him, and that he's created this life of rest for his beloved to live in. But I think with the world we live in, you know, we often live in that place of trying to prove, like you said before, and even just in a place of striving and trying to get our worth met in other things, filling that insatiable longing, like you said, with other things. But there really is this place of true rest that is available to us today. And it doesn't mean our life's going to end up perfect, but it definitely means that he is going to come and live his life through us in a way that changes everything.
Boy, the old hymn is so right. You know, there's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And it's just true, you know. I would love to know, if you don't mind sharing, how you knew you were, when you realized it wasn't sustainable. What was the tipping point, the break point or turning point, however you want to call that, when you had to make some suddenly decisions, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. My desires started to shift, and that was out of nowhere. And so I remember paying attention to that. And I believe that one of the ways that God speaks to us, I believe he speaks through his word, obviously through the body of Christ, through prayer. But I also believe that he shifts our desires. I think that he is the instiller and the fulfiller. Amen. Of our desires. And for whatever reason, I remember that was the thing. It was like I started longing for rest. I started actually longing to come off the road, to come home. But I believe that that was, you know, a physical call home, but I really believe that was paralleling to the spiritual call to come back and live from his heart. And I love to say that, you know, I was actually cleaning a toilet, of all things, when I had this moment where I sensed his presence around me, and I knew I needed to go get in my Bible, and I was, you know, it was coupled with this kind of this longing for home. And I love that, you know, God can meet us anywhere, any place. At that season in my life, you know, I was doing most of my meeting with God in front of the, you know, lights and on the stage and with the fog and all that stuff, because that's just what we were doing so much of. But my heart was weary, and I knew I needed something different. And I love to think, looking back, that a weary heart was actually a readied heart, like that he had actually readied my heart in kind of hitting that wall and kind of letting me experience like coming to the end of myself in that season, the pace truly was unsustainable. And I was starting to feel it. Our kids were starting to feel it. And so, yeah, I love that, you know, he shifted my desires in that moment. And that's one thing that really sticks out to me, that, you know, that he came in and shifted that. And it was really a part of the journey that propelled me, you know, to come home and go, okay, God, what are you asking of me?
We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about just what that looked like on a practical level. I remember Mark Batterson has said on the show a couple of times, you know, when you walk intimately with God, you really can and should trust, pay attention at least to your desires. You know, sometimes we're so afraid of our desires, but you're walking intimately with God and the desire shifts. It's just a wise thing to pay attention to it. So I love that you did that. Talking to Christy Knuckles, her book is The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest. And, you know, as you read, you'll feel yourself exhale, because it really, God wants us to live loved out of the overflow, really. More with Christy Knuckles in just a moment.
Jesus, you are so wonderful. So wonderful in all your ways. The highest praise is yours alone, 'cause you are so wonderful.
That's honestly one of my favorite songs of all time. That's Christy Knuckles. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Christy Knuckles is my guest today. She just released a beautiful new book, The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest. And before the break, Christy, you were talking about, first of all, I should say, I've got a handful of copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions, comments for Christy, send those in a separate text. But before the break, you were talking about you and Nathan on the road as Watermark. And for the record, people think travel is so glamorous, and it's exhausting, just so you know. It ain't for sissies. It's exhausting. And God was, you know, really starting to show you his heart for you to come home. I thought it was so interesting as you're starting to kind of realize, and Nathan too, we've got to make more space at home. And you push back a little bit with your management company. One of them arrived at your doorstep one day to give you some news. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, it was just so surprising. You know, being in the Christian industry, we had sort of in a few months before that began to say no to some things and had been telling them, you know, can we work together, you know, to kind of shift some things a little bit where at least we're just living a more balanced life for our family. And yeah, he showed up at our door, and the higher ups had sent him to drop us off of their roster. And it was shocking. I remember I had just had our second child, so I was like postpartum everything. I was a little bit already just, my emotions were all over the place. And yeah, we just had this moment, like I talk about it in the book, it's actually kind of a funny moment looking back on it. And I will say this, we are still friends with that manager to this day. He's not even managing in Christian music anymore. And I see him around town every once in a while. And there's grace there. And it's, you know, but just to tell you what happened is that I kind of like was getting ready to give him, you know, a piece of my mind for dropping us at such a crucial time. And Nathan kind of looked at me. He gave me this look like, it's not worth it. Don't go there. Let's just let this be. And I went up. Actually, the baby monitors went off, and both of our kids at the same time started crying, awakening from their nap. So I just kind of dismissed myself. I went upstairs, and Nathan let him out the door, and we kind of met in the middle upstairs in the hallway. He had Noah. At that time, he was a toddler, and then I had this newborn Eliana in my arms, and we just face-to-face were like, he's like, what do you think? And I'm just like, I just have this overwhelming feeling that if we keep choosing what God is asking us to choose, that he is just going to take care of us. We have to trust that this is what he's calling us to take care of our family, to put them first before our career, then I have to believe he's going to take care of us. And I was like, how did it go letting him out the door? Like, what was it awkward? And he was like, no, he's like, I just let him out. And I was like, well, what are you thinking? And he was like, I was thinking, get off my land and don't touch my roosters.
I love him.
But of course, we did have roosters. That was just all the dad in him rising up to just defend his family and just go like, hey, we're trying to do what God is asking us to do here. And so it ended up being this funny moment, and we all started giggling, and it kind of broke the tension a little bit. But that was what those days were like. You know, it was we were just depending on our Heavenly Father at that point. We were just two young, you know, people who needed His fathering and His direction. And He was really, in those days, He was calling me. I call it in the book that He was calling me to the bullseye. He kind of gave me this picture, and I sort of lay out the story of how this bullseye picture came into my mind. But He was just like, Christy, what if you just hit the bullseye? And then I will take care of all the outer rings of your life, and I'll show you my glory. But He's like, you're stuck in the outer ring of your life, running around ragged. You're trying to uphold all this stuff. You're trying to do it all. You're trying to keep your calendar full. You're trying to, you know, keep everyone in your world happy. He's like, what if you just learned how to enjoy me and be my child? What if you hit the bullseye? And then the Lord just kind of showed me what that outer circle is from that bullseye is actually our family. It's our community. It's our church. It's the people around us. And then that outermost ring, I love to think when we live from the bullseye, it gets reclaimed. And we're able to walk into the things. I love Ephesians 2:10 that God's prepared in advance for us. It says we're His workmanship and that He's created good works for us to walk into. And I just love to think that to walk into the things God has already set up for us and prepared for us to walk in, we just get to get close to His heart and ask Him what those things are. And so that sometimes that means saying no to some things. And sometimes it means some yeses as well.
I just, you know, want folks to really grasp how audacious, I love, love, love the story and what you did there, but how audacious it was. You're young people with mm-hmm. young children, and that was actually your income. You know, you weren't just gigging on the side. This was, you know, it's mm-hmm. like somebody with, you know, a day job in the marketplace that was killing them, and the Lord said, trust me. I mean, that really is stepping out of the boat. If you don't mind, and only share what you feel comfortable, but how did you make it financially? How did God provide for you in the days ahead?
Yeah, you know, it is so amazing to me as I look back on it, because Nathan, talk about desire shifting, he had a desire to produce albums for other worship leaders and artists, and he had never really gotten to fully step into that because we were always gone. And so I could see that desire in him growing. And so that opened up time for him suddenly. And once people figured out he was there and available, that whole arm of income that is still here today for our family, that's when that started growing. And so I love to think that not only did God financially provide, but he also met that longing that Nathan had, you know, to be able to do that whole other facet of his career that he'd never fully gotten to step into. And then I got to, as a mom, kind of experience what it's like a little bit to just, you know, to really rest and to come home and to not feel like, at least for a season, that I was needing to so heavily contribute to everything. And so, you know, and it's so sweet how over the years, I mean, the Lord is just like over and over given back. You know what I mean? And I love mm-hmm. that. Honestly, it took me 15 years to write this book because I think I'm able to like encourage people and say, like, time after time, God has just given 100-fold back. I mean, in ways that we literally could have never dreamed that He would come through for us. And like literally just from that point, take us again, you know, like just to every continent to lead worship, to see the nations worship. I mean, like, we still, after that, got to travel. But what's been so beautiful, I mean, our son Noah is in our band now. He travels with us now. And there's this whole season where the kids go with us. They're all teenagers now. And I think had we just kept barreling, I don't know who we would be. I don't know who my kids would be. But I love that God gave us that. He sort of set a new pace for our lives in a way that caused us to always live from that bullseye place in every decision that we make. And God has been faithful. Now, it doesn't mean that we haven't suffered and we haven't been through normal things that all of us all go through. We all have trials that are familiar to all of us. It doesn't mean life is perfect, but it sure has meant that He has been faithful in every season. And I love just getting to encourage people. If God is asking you to do something audacious, like, he will be faithful, and you can trust him with the results of your obedience, and he will come through.
Dr. Richard Swenson, who wrote the best-selling book years ago, Margins, he said anybody can be super successful in one area of life at the neglect of all the others, but it takes a great person of character and conviction and humility to move at a pace that the rest of your world can move with you, you know, your people. And that's my paraphrase, but that's really what you've done. And I often say that valley of decision that we're all faced with, it's where ambitions die. Or actually the stuff that we love dies. And there, we have to go through that place when we have to choose what's important and let ambition and our flesh and even our wrong sense and misplaced identity die so that we can come through with God's best in mind. But Christy, I shudder to think of how many Christians refuse to take that such an audacious leap because they're like, no, I'm making a name for myself or I'm on a path right now. You don't understand. But they short circuit and then there are casualties all around. I mean, I'm sure you see that as well.
Absolutely. There's even just with leaders leaving the church, we see it all the time. And I believe that it's because our world is really not set up for us to live how God created us to live. And it's just our society isn't set up. And honestly, in a lot of places, even it plays out in the church almost just as much. That there's this expectation. And again, like just our own strength has a shelf life. And unless we come to that place of, like you said, even just giving up our deepest, you know, ambition and want, it's really surrender and trust. One of the things that the Lord showed me, and it really wasn't until I was writing the book and it was kind of just like fleshing it all out. And I was going, okay, what do all these rings represent? You know, this bullseye, I call it the calling of the beloved. That's our first and highest calling. To live from that place every single day, that we are a loved son and daughter of God. We are not an orphan. We're not a commodity. We are a loved son and daughter. And then that next ring is the community of the beloved. And I love to think, you know, that living from the bullseye informs how we live in the community. It changes our relationship with our family, changes the relationship with our community group and our people that we're walking life with. But I love that outermost ring. I call it the capacity of the beloved. And one of the things that God showed me is that there's two ways to look at capacity. You can look at it as like cranking things out and getting stuff done. You can look at it as like what you've got to supply and churn out today. Or you can look at capacity as what you're able to be filled, how you're able to contain and receive and be filled. And I love that God showed me that as the beloved of God, it's really about being filled with the fullness of God and pouring out from that place. And so I love to think that even in hard seasons, I mean, right now my mom is in the, like, just the crux of like cancer fighting it. And it is this very week is crucial for her. But I love to think that seasons like this do not have to derail us or our purpose in life, that we can still be filled at full capacity with what God has for us in this season. It doesn't have to look like us cranking out all the things we feel like we got to get done today. It can actually look like being filled with who he is. And so I love that he showed me that.
So beautiful. More with Christy Knuckles in just a moment.
Maybe you weren't mine to carry such a load. Lay it down and we can watch it roll down the river of grace.
Christy Knuckles, thanks for tuning in. This is Susie Larson Live talking to Christy today about her brand new book, The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest. I think we all need this message, don't you? We've got a beautiful stack here to give away. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Christy writes this, living loved turns our mundane into a place of glorious encounters with God, who is already on the edge of his seat, looking for a heart that might turn toward him today. This posture of surrender transfers our trust from mere humans making a way for ourselves to the God of the universe showing himself strong in us. So here you and Nathan are watermark. You have young kids, young married couple, and you knew the pace wasn't sustainable. You stepped away. And God led you into a new place. Now, Nathan is, you know, he's got new desires. He's producing. So he's getting established. You needed rest. But I'm sure that your sense of identity took a hit, because how do you not? I mean, we all tend to tie what we do with who we are. So what kind of untangling needed to happen for you there?
Yes, I write in the book that that transition home was not as pretty as I wish. You know, especially because Nathan was all of a sudden, we built out our basement for him to have a studio in order to, you know, produce. And he, you know, in my eyes, it was like he was skipping downstairs getting to do what he loved while I was upstairs, you know, watching like reruns of Blue's Clues. And and I went from, you know, I went from leading in arenas, literally, like, to just being in my kitchen with my kids and learning how to take care of a house. I didn't know how to do any of that at that point, honestly. Like, we were used to, you know, just having the food out on the road and kind of getting things on the go. And I didn't know how to cook or clean. And I was learning all those things, which are all so incredible, you know, as far as life skills. I needed to learn it anyway. But like you said, the whole time I was just truly like going through almost withdrawals of like what it looked like to, you know, come off of the platform, come off of the stage. And God was so patient with me and so merciful. And I started realizing that, okay, well, I've got to meet with him. I can't do an hour Bible study. Like, I've got these littles, they're on different schedules. What am I going to do? And I remember a lady came over, she was a country writer, and she had asked Nathan if he would do a demo for her. And she wanted to know if I would sing the vocal for it. And so I agreed, because I was so happy to get to do anything related to music. And I was like, yes, I'll do it. And I met her. Her name is Terry Price. And I learned that she was a mother of nine. She was homeschooling all of her children at the time. And she was a country writer. And I was like, can we get coffee? And so we ended up just chatting over coffee one day. And I just, with tears in my eyes, was like, okay, like, I need to understand how to do this mom thing. Like, I'm having a hard time, obviously, feeling seen and known in this place where the four walls feel like they're kind of closing in on me. And she said the most profound thing to me, which I know was the Holy Spirit's words to me that day. She said, you invite the glorious into the mundane. And she was like, that means that I have a notebook and I'm on the floor of the laundry room, and I'm writing songs while I'm checking on the laundry. I'm praying for my kids while I'm folding their clothes. Literally, specifically, as I hold up socks, I'm praying, okay, where are their feet going to take them? God, take them to the places that you have, you know, created them for them to go. And holding up their shirts, and she's praying, you know, the breastplate of righteousness over her kids. And I'm just like sitting there crying. So part of it was like, wow, there's nowhere to hide, actually. Like, he is with me in the mundane, and I'm able to meet with him at the kitchen sink. Like, I'd never thought about even songs happening at the steering wheel of my minivan, but that's what started happening. I was like, okay, Lord, I knew I would have a carpool run, and I would invite the Lord in my little minivan. I called it my sanctuary. And I would say, okay, Lord, I know you're with me here. I invite you. In fact, that song, Wonderful, that you were listening to while ago, I wrote that in my minivan on the way to the grocery store. No, I needed to trust him. And that was what was happening, is the song started. I was meeting with him just at the kitchen sink while the kids were running to the sprinkler, in the carpool line, going to the grocery store, literally just out loud talking to the Lord and meeting with him in the mundane. And that is where I found my worth and my identity and just the treasure of my life being Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the songs came anyway. In fact, there were more of them, you know, that came from the mundane places like that. And so I'm so grateful that God would just reorder my life, really, to live from a place of rest. And then the songs were like abundant, you know, it was just so precious that whole season looking
it's
back.
The fruit.
Yes. Mm. And it's mm-hmm. still that way to this day. It really taught me a new way to live.
You just got to know. I mean, even just last weekend, I had, I think, one of our first in-person, most of our speaking events were moved virtual. But But I love to put that song on in my hotel room right before Kev usually goes, sets up my book table and lets me have some time in the hotel room. And I get on my knees and I put my arms in the air. I could cry. I mean, I was weeping last on Friday when he came to get me. That song's blaring on my phone and I was crying my eyes out. It is to think that it came to you in your minivan while God was just pruning you back so he could burst you forth. Honestly, Christy, the ministry that song has been to me, I thank God and I thank you for it. So I'm just in awe. I had no idea that was the backstory. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow.
Yeah,
that's just absolutely amazing.
Sure.
You know, and the thing is, when we go through these seasons of reduction, you know, God never humiliates his children, but he does humble us. And I have so learned, I'm not much of a cook either, but I know there's a thing called reduction where you boil something down. I hear that's a thing anyway. But when you're boiled down, it brings more flavor, more texture to what it is you're using, you know, how the plate that you're creating. And it is, when I look at the times God's done that in me, through me, for me, it's sometimes so painful when you resist it. But when you lean in, it becomes really the most sacred, intimate place, doesn't it?
It does. I actually talk about in the book several different seasons of, like I call it, a winter of the soul, seasons of suffering, really, which is definitely causes that reduction and that pruning. And it's just looking back on it that I realize, you know, how much the Lord was preparing me for the next season, even, you know, it's what's beautiful to get to look back on all of it and just to see, like, season after season, how he is preparing you for the next right thing that you're supposed to walk into. And so, yeah, like there's a whole chapter called Heart Like a Honeycomb. And it comes from one of those lullabies. I think I heard you were playing some of the lullabies a minute ago. But yeah, it's the bridge of that song that says, no matter what may come, make my heart like a honeycomb, storing up the sweetest home for you and me until I love you more than anything. And when I first wrote that, you know, I was thinking about literally as the children of God, you know, whether that is in, you know, those times of where he's pruning or causing that reduction to happen. And I was imagining, like, you know, sort of it dripping like a honeycomb, like our heart just being full of, you know, who he is, storing up the promises of God and the word of God. But when that Lullaby album came out, that the very same week, my friend Lauren Chandler sent me this text, and it was this article in the New York Times about the honeycomb. And in this case, it was like an electronic honeycomb that was happening and all the scientific stuff that it's really hard to explain. But overall, it was saying, you know, just that scientists have marveled at honeycombs. And one of the things that, you know, it represents is strength and tension. And it's inside of crash barriers, like bumpers of cars, and it's inside of cardboard box. And so, you know, she and I were texting back and forth, and she was like, it's not just for, it is for storing up the sweetness of God in us, but also in those times, like you said, he's strengthening that heart. He's strengthening us to be stability in unstable times, to be a heart of certainty around who he is in uncertain times. And so I love to think that as the beloved of God, even in the times we're living in, even through suffering, he is strengthening our heart to make it robust and to be able to withstand the bends of this world without breaking, and to be able to offer the stability of God to an unstable world. And so I love that even in those times of suffering, he is building an infrastructure in our heart, or a texture, like you're saying, or the flavor, he's strengthening it. And it's so good. It's not fun, but it is, it's beautiful. And there's beauty in all of that. And I've learned that just over the years, even with what we're sitting in as a family right now with my mom, there's so beauty in the tears, and there's strength in the sorrow, and it's good.
You know, just, I'm going back to your diagram that you offer in the book, that calling of the beloved, that we live out of that place first, the calling of the beloved to be much with God, and then the community of the beloved. And what you write about is we live out from God's love and see and sing over those that he has placed in our path. We fight for the belovedness of others by welcoming them into our familiar with the Father. And I just think that's so profound as we start to enjoy God and really get our identity settled and really know that any gift from his hand pales in comparison to knowing his heart. I mean, when that's really a core belief for us, I mean, life does spill out. I mean, streams of living water flow out and people are nourished. Yeah. But when we're posturing, trying to prove something, we're actually taking from people. We're not giving to them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, definitely one of the things I remember, it was vivid to me, is that when I finally started to live in that rhythm of the bullseye and going back to the Father every day and living from that place of my identity with Him, I started to see people for the first time. And it was like, before that, it was like, I was just looking out for me. I was just only going, okay, do I have all this straight? Am I carrying all this good? Okay. Is this person pleased with me? But it was like, when I started to live from that place, I all of a sudden, literally, I could see people around me and I started developing a heart for them. And I know that could only be through God. And like you're saying, me living out from His love, and that was changing the way I was moving into the community around me. And all of a sudden it was like, it was so clear to me that God had brought not only my immediate family, my children that I needed to care for every day. But even that, I wasn't looking at them just as these blobs that needed something from me. I was seeing that I had an irreplaceable role in their lives and that they were a treasure and that I saw them and I could sing over them. But also He was bringing young women into my life that wanted to be worship leaders, which is what I do. That's what I've, you know, been a part of for 25 years. And He was bringing these women into the general vicinity of me because He wanted me to see them and sing over them and speak into their lives, pull them close, spend time with them, write songs with them. And that was some of the beautiful fruit that came from that. Like you're saying, it's just when we live out from God's love in that way, it changes our trajectory. It changes our wants and our desires and what we treasure. And the things I had been after before in that outermost ring just became reclaimed. It was like, I wanted to help raise up young worship leader women and then bring them out into those reclaimed outer rings, into the capacity with me. And so even some of that happened where I started even leading on stage, you know, with some of those women and inviting them into what I was doing and help raising them up. And now they're off on their own and they're doing their own thing and they're leading for conferences and they're leading in arenas. And it's just so beautiful. Like you said, even before, it's so true that when we live from our own belovedness, we start fighting for it in others. And we see them so clearly in the treasure that they are, and we begin to sing over them. And I don't mean you have to be a singer. I just mean that your life sings. And God is bringing people into the vicinity of all of us that He wants us to pour into. But it's so good when we do that from the order of living from God's love, because our own love has a shelf life as well. And we so need His love. We can't outlove Him. And we need His love in order to endure faithfully in what it looks like to love those around us.
The whole idea of His peace passing through, His strength passing through, His love passing through, you know, as we're vessels, you know, the powers of God, not of us. When we come back, Christy, I'd love for you to share, you know, you're home, you're kind of hidden, but God's doing this incredible refining work. When did the winds shift, and when did you start serving alongside Chris Tomlin for these passion conferences? How did that all evolve? And was there a different approach for you? Did it feel different to you? Talking to Christy Knuckles, and she's got a beautiful new book, The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest. And she really does write like she speaks. You'll feel like this is a cool drink of water. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. But it's another one of my favorites, and it's my radio show, so I'm playing what I want, okay? Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Christy Knuckles. Love this girl. Her book is titled The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest. And Christy, so after the Lord, you know, called you off the road as Watermark, you and Nathan, and you had a time of behind the scenes just plugging into your kids. Nathan was producing albums for other people. When and how did the winds shift where God maybe called you back on the road again? How did it come to be where you were partnering alongside Chris Tomlin for these massive Passion conferences?
Yeah, well, we had, you know, really been a part of Passion from the very beginning, from 1997, and even in our watermark years, we kind of called it like two trains in the night going parallel to each other as far as like our work with Passion and our work with Watermark. And but there became a shift, you know, after I was home for about 3.5 years or so, we got word that Louie and Shelley were starting a church in Atlanta. And that Chris is the one that told us and said, I would love for you, Nathan, to come help me, you know, come be a part of this church. And so we had, you know, known Chris for so many years and trusted his heart. And so we moved our family actually to Atlanta in 2008, and we were there for 7 years. And you're right, it just kind of happened slowly, as far as like what I would say yes to. And during that season, we would always just make sure that if I was overseas, or, you know, if Nathan was overseas, that one of us was home with the kids so that we were holding down the fort. And that was sort of the way we did that, was that Nathan would kind of hold down the fort with the kids, and I would go out on these tour dates, you know, for 3 or 4 nights, and I'd come back home. And it was really actually, you know, all those people in that crew, kind of Matt Redman, Chris Tomlin, we were a family, you know, and it really, there was no high pressure, you know, for me to do this or that. It was just sort of an invitation, and it was easy because, you know, I wasn't having to do anything as far as like any arrangements. It was just sort of like, hey, I showed up, I got on the bus, and I got to go, you know, lead worship with Chris here and there. And so it really was a pace that was sustainable for our family. And I would be back home, and I would be making sack lunches on Monday morning. And and so it was just a season where just kind of slowly that started back. And we would just, I remember Nathan and I would sit down and we would say, okay, you know, is this invitation something that we are kind of willing as a family to make a little bit of a sacrifice for? And sometimes it was. And sometimes it wasn't, you know, sometimes we would say, you know, the cost is too great. And one of the things I learned was really about saying yes and saying no, and how we really do have that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's the Holy Spirit. And he is with us. And if we learn to recognize his voice, we understand that, like, even some of our first reactions to things are often him. I mean, we still need to seek his face and pray. But I started noticing, you know, that there would be things that would come my way, and I would immediately feel like an invitation to, you know, go do this or that, or to, you know, at that time we did a world tour. But it was a neat way to be able to, you know, go across the world and be back home literally within 5 or 6 days. So it was just at a pace that we could, you know, do that in. But I was going to say, when the invitations would come to me, I would immediately sense like a life-giving, just a sense in my heart that it was like, I'm excited about that. Like, that makes me feel joy. That makes me feel excited. And, you know, it turned out like when I would say yes to that thing, it might not have been the thing that looked the most glamorous on paper. A lot of times it wasn't. It was actually like a small thing, or maybe it didn't pay so well, but it was like something about that. I just feel joy already, and I haven't even been there yet, you know? And it would turn out, it would be like, yes, you know, that is so true. But then there were these other invitations that I would feel like just a sense of like, I feel guilted into that, or I feel like it's one of those things that I used to kind of trust. It's like, okay, if I do this, then it would open this door, or maybe if I do this, then this would happen. And I started recognizing those things. And as I would take it to the Lord, you know, then I would go, okay, I think this really is a no. And it was teaching us to just not flippantly make decisions and not just be like, yes, 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 you know, like, let's just fill the calendar. But it was teaching us to really stop and go, okay, like, what's the cost here for our family? What's the cost for just, you know, our peace? And, you know, and then really trusting God when it wasn't something that, you know, was going to fully pay the bills right away. It's like, okay, I have to believe that if I'm sensing a leading to say no to this thing, then he will provide and he will come through and he will make up for, you know, what it would cost. And so in that, he's been so faithful. And so that was such a sweet season. You know, we were a part of the church for 7 years, and now the Tomlins live 5 minutes from us in Tennessee.
How fun.
we kind of all followed each other. Well, Chris, the Redmonds went to California, which we miss them a ton, but the Tomlins live 5 minutes from us, and actually our Eliana teaches their two oldest girls arts every Wednesday, and she goes over there and plays with their kids. So we're still good friends, and that just, you know, it's been fun to watch them even on their journey of just, you know, God shifting them to Tennessee and watching God come through for them as a family, and they just had a third. And so it's been fun to remain friends after all this time and just watching God. And they've been one of my biggest cheerleaders with this book coming out. I'm really good friends with Chris's wife, Lauren, and it's just been precious that we all got to have that season together.
God's so good. I mean, and I wonder, could that have happened, or would that have even been sustainable? If you would have just been driving, you would have arrived to that potential exhausted, because your body would have not had a chance to rest. So you were able to give your best self to that. That's amazing. Wow, I appreciate that so much. If you could grab your cute, adorable younger self by the shoulders. Listen, you little cutie pie, let me tell you something. What would you say to her?
Oh, you don't have to work to belong. You already belong. You are the beloved of God, and you don't have to try so hard. Just let yourself be loved and live from that love.
And Christy, what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5, 10 years ago?
Oh my goodness. You know, I guess just over and over, I continue to see his faithfulness in every season, and really honestly, like, after the seasons that we walk through in sorrow, I've also seen, and this is kind of, it's not new with him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but I think I'm just learning from him, you know, that in these seasons of sorrow that I'm even in, again, I write about several of them in the book. I write about my miscarriages. I write about a hearing loss that I had that he healed. Is just that I end up missing these times of suffering in the weirdest way when they're over. And so I've learned to pay attention to every part of these seasons, and to even, you know, it's sweet that in these times I've realized that I've stored up praise for these days at a different time. And I remember in seasons before this, it's like, okay, it's like this season of consolation. It feels like we're soaring a bit. We're on those wings like eagles, you know, it's like a season of just, we're experiencing, you know, I look back on the 3 records we put out in 3 years. That was the Christmas album and the, you know, the lullaby album and the instrumental album. And that was like a season of just sort of soaring. And I remember the Lord just saying, store up praise for the next season. And then I would walk into that season and realize that some of the songs that he had given me in that season of consolation were songs for the night. They were songs for sorrow. They were songs when I was sitting in the bathtub holding my ear going, God, I trust you with this ear that is closed up, you know? And so, and then when those seasons are over, you know, even right now we're in this season. I know you said it's been beautiful today there where you are, and it's like spring's calling, but winter says, don't forget, you know, it's like, you know, I want to savor this moment where I am right now. And I'm learning that, I guess, in the last 5 or 6 years, that there is strength in this moment. And I'm, you know, there's something to be held in this moment. And it's good. And I'll miss it even.
Oh, Christy, you got to come back. I feel like there's so much more to talk about, but our time is up. Thank you. God bless you, dear one.
Thank you. Just love you.
And I pray you found some encouragement here today. Friend, thanks for tuning in. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.